I apologize, I don't have the microphone this morning. I don't know what has happened to the microphone. I think John had it during the Bible class, and I didn't get it back after that, so I'm going to do my best without the microphone. Claudia, do you know what happened to the microphone?
Oh, there it is. Yep.
There we go. Our lesson this morning is entitled Finding Our Strength, and we'll be looking at Psalm 46. When Jason Jackson, who is preacher for the church down in Stockton, California, narrowly escaped death in a boating accident out near San Francisco several years ago, he determined that he was going to devote his life to reaching out to other people who might have experienced other similar struggles in their lives as Christians. He is a writer for a publication called The Christian Courier, and he sent out invitations to people to start writing in their stories, and he was amazed at how many stories came in the following weeks and months, and he decided to begin to collect those and publish some of those and share them. He realized that people oftentimes in life, just as he had experienced, go through a lot of ups and downs in life, that life can be, and oftentimes is, very joyful and happy and wonderful times that we experience in life. But on the other hand, we find that life can also have many challenges and disappointments and discouragements in it. And these can come very unexpectedly sometimes in our life. Our lives can be like Peter speaks about in 1 Peter chapter 3, where he says that we are able to love life and see good days, and the Bible certainly helps us to understand how we can do that, to be able to see good days and love our life. But at the same time, the Bible is also there to help us be prepared that when these challenges and struggles come in life, we are able to know that we can find help in our God. There are days in life that call to mind the famous words of President Franklin Roosevelt following the attack on Pearl Harbor, when he spoke to Congress and described this as a day that would live in infamy. We have days like that in our lives that could almost be described that way, where things take a turn for the worst and the unexpected happens. And we find ourselves suddenly struggling or drowning in overwhelming problems and fears that come upon us. Jason Jackson, as I said, went on a fishing trip on Memorial Day several years ago outside of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco out into the Pacific Ocean. And suddenly their boat capsized. And he found himself in the frigid waters there of the Pacific Ocean with no help in sight. And somehow a distress signal was able to be picked up by two fishermen in a boat in that area. And they came to the rescue, but it appeared that no help was coming. And suddenly that lifeline was thrown out, and Jason's life was saved. And he said that in that moment, his prayer to God was very brief, but he thought of the scripture, "Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord." He said his prayer was very, very brief, almost like when Jesus wept. It was just a very brief call to God for help in that moment. But as he was rescued and his life was saved, he began to think about the people that we might not even realize that we could be worshiping with on Sundays, who have gone through that, or maybe even still are going through those kind of struggles in their life. And they need someone to share that with, and they need someone to lean on to help. And so that was the reason that he put forth the request to people to begin writing in and sharing some of those experiences of life that and he found that many Christians have experienced those types of experiences in life and long for some type of hope and help and are looking to their faith to find those answers that they're searching for. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 how important it is for us to be caring for one another in those types of things. Because the Apostle Paul said to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So he recognized the fact that oftentimes there are people nearby us that are hurting, people that are struggling, people that feel almost a sense of drowning in despair and not knowing where to turn to for help. And it helps when there's another Christian who will reach out and help them in those times. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16 that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working of which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Paul is indicating here how important it is for every member of the church, every member of the body, to be a working part and to be thinking of how can I help one another? How can I bear the burdens of someone else? How can I fulfill what God would have me within the church? And he talks about how that we can be tossed to and fro in our lives with every wind of doctrine and different circumstances and struggles that we go through. But as we grow in Christ and we come to each one do our part, it strengthens us all and we are able to find that strength in God and in our fellowship with one another that can help us through these times. Many people feel hopeless moments in life. We all perhaps experience them to some extent or one time or another. We may go through these feelings of hopelessness. I'll share with you one of the letters that was sent in. A Christian woman shared these events in her life, and she said that at 2 years old, I was abandoned by my mother and father. I was placed in foster care. My mother eventually died on the street, choking in her own vomit. My father also died in his 40s as an alcoholic. While I was in foster care, I was severely emotionally abused. I was physically and sexually abused. I was beaten. My foster mother would smash my head against the wall. Her brother sexually abused my sisters and me. Although she knew it happened, she denied it. Imagine some of the terrible experiences she went through. This burden of abandonment began at age 2 when I was placed in the first foster home, and the abuse continued from age 2 through 12. My first foster mother died. I was placed in her sister's home, and the abuse continued from the time I was 12 to 17. The pain and many issues came with the burdens continued to plague me for many years. One of the most significant ways was my burden troubled me was self-confidence and knowing who I was because of the emotional verbal abuse I suffered. I was constantly told that I would be like my mother, an alcoholic. They would say, you're going to be no better than your mother was. The sexual and physical abuse that I endured left me unable to trust and to be intimate with those close to me. I even continued struggling with this many years after I became a Christian. But in the last several years, I began seeking a relationship with God, and when I began fellowshipping with members of the church and learning and studying the Word of God, the burdens began to be lifted. What helps me most is to trust in the Lord that He would never leave me or forsake me, that He loves me, and I realized that I was truly loved. My husband loved me even when I didn't feel worthy of love or lovable. He was patient and protected me. I've been able to trust Christian friends and have been able to open up and share life's burdens. And they have shared with me and have offered encouragement and hope. These experiences have helped me relate to others who are suffering. I can understand how burdened people can be affected by life's troubles. I try to offer others help by listening and praying for them. Through Christ, I am stronger. I am stronger today in healing because of God's mercy and grace. We all experience in our lives hopeless times of feelings, maybe not exactly what this woman experienced and described, but there are those who are lost in sin. Some of our neighbors, some of those that we work with, people that we know, who are lost in sin. The Bible tells us that we're separated from God, dead in sin, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2, without hope in the world, separated from God. There are also those that the Bible describes that are heavy laden. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 through 30, said, "Come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So He gives a promise here to people who are heavy laden, burdened down with overwhelming problems, distress because of those things, to come to Him. And He promises to give us rest. There are those who are burdened either by sin or by sorrow or by struggles that we are going through, which Paul there in the Galatians says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And there are those who are spiritually empty, even though they may be Christians, and though they may be striving to follow Jesus Christ, they may still feel that emptiness and searching and thirstiness that the Bible speaks about in the book of Revelation, verse 22, chapter 22, verse 17, where it said, "The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." We find that the Bible then offers a promise of hope and help to those who are struggling and who need the Lord. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 wandered away from his father and wandered away from home, and in a distant country he cried out for help, and he came to himself and he said, "I will go back to my father. I will go back to my home where my father I know loves me." So there are people in life who are struggling with these types of things in their lives spiritually. No doubt around us there are those that we may not even be aware of. So we need to be aware of that. We need to be compassionate and thinking of one another, how we can bear each other's burdens. Heaven's invitation that we see in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So He promises us rest. He promises us forgiveness of sins when we come, that He will take away those burdens that we are trying to carry, but we can't carry them. They're too overwhelming for us. The Bible says that when we are buried with Jesus in baptism, that we'll be raised to walk in newness of life. That forgiveness that Jesus has made possible through His death on the cross. If we will submit our life to Jesus in faith and repentance and be buried with Him in baptism, the Bible promises we can be able to begin a new life in Christ. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, the Bible, Paul said that if God is for us, who can be against us? This shows us that God is there. He is very available to help us with our struggles that we are going through. He said, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us." We find that scriptures like this are very comforting. They're encouraging to offer us help in the struggles, the very real problems of life that we are finding. Because even though the Bible tells us that God is with us, He is for us, He is willing to help us, oftentimes as Christians we still aren't able to seem to grasp hold of that help that the Bible is promising to us. We don't know quite how to get a hold of that and apply it in our life. And we still may experience some of these same struggles that Jesus is referring to here. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1, Isaiah said, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." Now God was speaking to the people of Israel under the Old Testament covenant there. But we are living under the New Covenant. And in the New Covenant, we have that same promise that is given to us, those same kinds of promises that we are in a covenant, a better covenant with Christ today. As Galatians chapter 3 says that if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So come, take the waters of life. The Bible frequently is saying, come to me, come to me. I can help you. I am the one that is wanting to help you. I am here for that purpose. We all need to be pointing people to Jesus Christ, because He's the only answer of life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The only way that people can find salvation and true hope in their life is through Jesus Christ. Because without God, there is no hope for people in their lives. It can be materialism that people are grasping for, such as the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, where he said to build bigger barns. And God said, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you." It might be people who are involved in destructive relationships in their lives that are bringing them down spiritually. As Jesus met with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, and He offered her the water of life. He said that He could give her this water that she would never drink again, that if she would ask Him of this water, He would give it to her. And she asked Him more about that. And He said, "Well, go and bring your husband." And she says, "Well, I have no husband." And He said, you've spoken well, because you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. So here was a woman that was involved in a lot of destructive relationships in her life, and yet Jesus was offering her hope. He was offering her the water of life, that she could come to Him. And she saw in Him the Messiah, and she came to Christ on this occasion. There can be those vain pursuits of life that the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us about. Solomon, in his pursuit for the wisdom of life and understanding the meaning of life, he talked about, he said, I said to myself, I would test myself with pleasure, and surely this was vanity and laughter and madness. And he went on from one thing to another here in the book of Ecclesiastes, and he said, these are all vanity and searching after the wind. The one thing that he said is the conclusion, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In the conclusion to the book of Ecclesiastes, he brings out that's the only thing in life that really will bring us meaning that we need. Help is near. Help is near. That is what the Bible is telling us. That we can find help in God. We can find strength in God. So in Psalm 46, we want to look at this now in the remaining part of this lesson. In Psalms 46, beginning with verse 1. Psalm 46 in verse 1. A psalm of the sons of Korah. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. He then goes on in verses 4 through 7. He said, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then in verse 8, he said, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What a beautiful psalm. Recognize the fact that this is the basis of the hymn that was written by Martin Luther, Our Fortress is Our God. The Lord is our fortress and our refuge. Great song that was written based upon this psalm. The psalmist here is pointing out to us four things in this passage. First of all, the confidence that we can have in our God. The confidence that we should have in our God at all times. That no matter what happens in this world, we can go to God and find help. The people of Israel had a tendency, the leaders of the people of Israel had a tendency oftentimes from a political, military point of view, that any time something would go wrong, they would go running down to Egypt for help, rather than turning to God. And it was God that could help the people of Israel. It wasn't the rulers of Egypt. It wasn't some kind of a political alliance that they could form to get some other nation to come to their aid. Why not go to God? He is their God. He is in their midst. He is a very present help. He is a very available help in time of need. Second, talks about the surroundings that we have in our lives, that even though the earth around us is moved, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, and though its waters roar and be troubled. In other words, if everything around us crumbles and falls down, in our political system, in our world that we're familiar with, if everything around us falls apart, God is still going to be our God, and He will still be able to help us with these problems that we are faced with. The third part of the psalm is dealing with the consideration that we need to make. beginning there with verse 7 and 8, he says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire." Some said that this psalm perhaps was written when the Assyrian armies came to Jerusalem in the days of Isaiah. And they surrounded the city of Jerusalem, 185,000 of the Assyrians. People were in fear for their lives of what was about to happen. And they turned to God and prayed. And during the night, the 185,000 Assyrians lay dead in the camp because God delivered His people in that miraculous way, in that moment. So to consider, look at what God has done. We can look around us and we can see the amazing things that God is doing, that He has done in the past, in history. And taking consideration of that should convince us, if something goes wrong in my life, I know I can go to God and find help. I don't have to despair. I don't have to take my life. I don't have to give up. I know I can find help in God because God is a very present help in trouble. And so he makes a call here in the closing conclusion of this psalm to what we should each do. Behold the works of God. And then in verse 10 he says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." This word here that is used, "be still," is an interesting word in this psalm because it is a Hebrew word, rapha, which means weak. In fact, it means to let your hands be slack, to let your hands drop to your side. And normally, the unusual thing about that is that God normally doesn't tell us to do that. God always would seem to normally say, "Take courage, be strong, use your hands." And yet in this psalm, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." There's two things that this psalm seems to be pointing out to us. The fact that we are finite creatures and that God is infinite. That, yes, whenever we are in a position to be able to use our hands and do what we're able to do, but there are situations in life where we cannot do that. It is beyond our power. It is beyond our control. And what the psalmist is really saying to us is, in those moments, relax, my people. You know, let your hands drop to your side. Let me do it. Watch what I am able to do. You cannot do it on your own. Let your hands be still and know that I am God. So it's an exhortation to us to look to God in those times when things are too powerful for us to handle and deal with in our lives. And where can we turn? We can go to God. And we can know that God is all-powerful and infinite, and He's ready to help us. He can overwhelm the nations. He can deliver our nation today. He can bring us back onto a solid footing as a nation if we will just look to God for help. And the same thing in our lives. When we are struggling with overwhelming problems that we don't know where to turn, God is there. He is still our God. And we need to just kind of chill out sometimes and not try to take everything into our own hands. Let Him do it and watch what He is able to do. Let Him be put to the test. He is able to handle any and every problem that we may have. So relax. Trust in Him to do what we cannot do. That is tremendous advice that we all need to have, that confidence in God. That God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. What's the first thing we do? We're afraid. We have fear about the uncertainty of life, and yet God is our God, and He can help us. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 found to himself that he was he had a thorn in the flesh that he battled with, apparently, a great deal in his life, some kind of physical affliction. We don't know exactly what it was. But in writing the Corinthians here, he pointed out something very important. He said, God said to me, he prayed to take away this thorn in the flesh three different occasions. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul was recognizing the fact in his life that not only did he have physical affliction that constantly plagued him everywhere he went, that seemed to even make him kind of an undesirable person to look at, maybe. In addition to that, he had people that were persecuting him everywhere he went. His problems were overwhelming. But he asked God to take these away, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And he understood the fact that he said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. That I will boast in my weaknesses once I understand that when I'm weak, then I rely upon God, and God is always there for me. When I try to take things into my own hands, I'm not able to deal with these problems. Why not let God handle them for me? And realize that that's when I'm strong, is when my weaknesses help me to see that God's grace is what gives me the strength that I need. There are many people that struggle with these kinds of problems, and yet that help is available to one and all of us when we learn that our God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So we need to be still and know that He is God and allow Him to be exalted above the nations. If you're here today and subject to the Lord's invitation, He invites us to come to Him, these promises that He makes to us to help us in our times of need. But if you're not a Christian, you need to come to Him this morning to have a new life in Christ, to repent of your sins and believe that Jesus is the Son of God and be buried in baptism. We're going to extend that invitation to you now and invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
523. There is beyond the desert blue, a God concealed from human sight.